Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the Friday 6:30 Keeping It Real with Real Apostles. We ask that you tune in and be blessed. Whenever we gather here to have these type of discussions, we trust that you will be empowered. You have to do some work on your own too now. You're going to be empowered, and you're going to be challenged. And as we prepare to get started today, we are looking at this season that we are in. And it's no coincidence that the three children of Abraham, that's the three religious movements that grew out of here, are all having that celebration this year around the same time. The Muslims, the Jewish, and the Christians. We're all gathered here during this season. And you have two of the three of us. You have one, the challenger, that's me. You have the already. That's Apostle Miller. How are you, Apostle Miller?
I'm good, Apostle Armstrong. How are you?
I am fantastic. And as we wait on the Apostle McIntyre, who is the Apostle of Love, we're going to just set the parameter up for how we're going to proceed. One of the things that we will be doing is, like I said, be challenging you. Challenging you to determine what is the source of that which you believe, whether it's tradition. And you say tradition, oh, well, we always did it that way. What we believe is a custom. It is all about something that we have always done. And for example, it was a tradition of me. The Easter time was a tradition because what happened? There were certain things that happened during that time. You expect it to happen. And you've been disappointed if it didn't happen. My tradition was, growing up, we had Easter egg hunt. Then what did that have to do with the celebration, with the season, the meaning of the season? Well, that was one of the tradition, one of the things that we did, one of the things that we look forward to. What else were some of the things? No, we got new clothes. Yay. And growing up in the country on a farm, what else did we do? We cleaned the stables, and we put that in the field for fertilizer to grow the crop, to grow the cotton, the tobacco, whatever it was. And we cleaned the chicken coop and put that in the field for the garden. Biblical understanding, and for years that was my basis looking forward to Easter time, especially that Easter egg hunt. And tradition, if we look at it as also, it's a doctrine delivered to have divine authority, though not in the scriptures. And though nothing to do with scriptures, even though we say it was Easter, and we talked about Easter Sunday. Oh, I forgot. My other tradition was a sunrise service. That was a tradition. We got up early that Sunday, went to the sunrise service. And when I became a pastor, I followed the tradition. And then the next is experience. Experience is the fact of being, the fact of state of having been affected by or gained knowledge through direct observation. It was my experience. I like the experience of getting new clothes. But say I like the experience of cleaning the stables and putting the manure, what we call it, in the field. But I liked it whenever we had the one where the horses, the mules pulled it and it sprayed it out. That was fun. And then reason. Yeah, this one says that what reason comes for me, this is the one for me, reason. My knowledge, my understanding, and my tradition, I put it all together, and I came up with a reason. And back then, my thing was a scientific method. And whenever I applied a scientific method, they couldn't really get in touch with the Holy Spirit because the scientific method doesn't deal with anything that it cannot see, cannot feel, cannot smell, cannot hear. Basically, the scientific method affirms what you experience through the five senses. And then lastly, what do we do? Scripture. And I'm just going to read this little statement. The scripture are the primary source of God-inspired revealed truth to us. That's how we get to know what the season is all about. What is written in the Word? And how did we find that? Find it by watching TV and seeing the Easter. You find it by picking up the book and reading it for yourself, the words. Or you find it by, now there's no excuse because you can buy the Bible on tape and you can listen to the word as written. And as a result of that, what happens? You develop your faith coming. That's how you begin to know and understand what this season is all about. Now, whenever you do it that way through scripture, you have the truth. The other three, what do you have? You have information. You have knowledge. But do you have truth? Because if what you are saying doesn't line up with the word, you are not dealing with the true meaning of the season that we are in, or that you are in. And this, that has nothing to do with gender, has nothing to do with race. It had nothing to do with denominations or internet. It boils down to what the word says and who spoke the word. The word comes from the Father. And the word was given to the Son by the Father, who gave the word to the disciples. That's the Son of the living God. And because of that, we now, who profess to be Christians, we now order our beliefs, in other words, that becomes the foundation of our beliefs, just as it was the foundation of Jesus' belief, foundation of the disciples' belief, and now we are on the earth at this time as the foundation of our belief. Now, the question becomes, which of the four? And can we have a combination and still have still have an understanding, an in-depth understanding of what it is that we are celebrating. And because it says, and we embrace the truth that is found. Now, I didn't say it was the truth according to the Father. I said it's the truth according to reason. How you arrive at what you define as being true might not necessarily be the same as I define to be the truth, because our reasoning and then the tradition. Those some of you who have your tradition, the Easter is not even going to church. It's just straight up getting something new, a change. That's your tradition. But what does that mean that it lines up with the word? No. Experience is another one. Maybe your experience is you didn't get anything new. It could be in the Easter play, or you were selected and given the little short speech that says today, I don't know what, I guess I'm having a senior moment here. The one that you always get whenever you're real young, today is Easter Day, something like that, something similar to that. And then the other ones, as you mature, you give them a longer speech. And see, scripture is the foundation. And it, anyone that come up to you and just talking about their tradition, their reason, ignore them, and we'll keep it moving. Apostle Miller, the already.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Well, yes, I was just listening, and I went to Mark.
We just
didn't
hear you.
I went to the Gospel of Mark, the 7th chapter. Did
mm-hmm.
you hear me? You
yes,
hear me
I
now?
Hear you now.
And
mm-hmm.
And Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees and the scribes, because he was saying how they hold on to the tradition of men,
mm-hmm.
other
mm-hmm.
words, above when it comes down to the commandments of God. And that's the thing. I was listening to you in the beginning when I first started out. We didn't go to church every Sunday like everybody else. But I noticed Easter, Mom and Daddy made sure we had an Easter outfit and all of that, and we went to church. It was only when I got born again and I came into the knowledge and understanding, and God gave me revelation about Easter. For years, I thought it was about the Easter bunny and the Easter egg, just like everybody else, because it was a tradition.
Yep.
And but when I came into knowledge and I raised my children, I taught my children different. I taught them based upon the knowledge, the understanding, and the revelation that God said to me and showed me. When you think about the atonement work or the finishing work of Christ, you know, some people gonna say, okay, he gonna get up and all of that. But every day Christ rises in my soul, every moment. I live in that eternity now. But there too, again, we still have some people that have not as yet come into the knowledge, the understanding, and the revelation about Jesus. And I found that a lot of time, now some tradition that don't collide with what God say, his commandment, is cool. You know, but when your tradition mm-hmm. calls you to hold on to more, and this is what Jesus said, if you read the gospel, Mark the 7th chapter, when he rebuked them, because their tradition was interfering in what God say. They was more concerned mm-hmm. about washing your hand and all of that stuff. and he was letting them know that one is important. It's not that important, you know. And so there too, again, when we allow our tradition to collide with what God's word said, that's when we need to put it aside. Because he began to tell them, and that neighbor, he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandments of God that ye may keep your own tradition. And he was telling them by what he said, honor your father and mother and whosoever curse him. And they were saying, it's okay if you do other than what God say. And there too, again, when I came in the knowledge, the understanding about what people recall is Easter, what they said Easter was based upon what God's word said, then it wasn't true. Like I said, that's correct. What I had to teach my children, that Easter is not about a bunny and a rabbit. Well, if you look at what it does to the commandments of God, other words, what it do to the true knowledge and understand in the reality about who Jesus is, what Jesus came to do, and what Jesus accomplished, you'll find out. I don't have to wait to Easter to go to church. You know, I don't have to wait to Christmas, these holidays, but I can celebrate him every day by giving thanks unto God for his son Jesus and what Jesus accomplished through his coming, death, burial, and resurrection. And you know, that's something that the more knowledge and understanding God give me, because lately, one thing God's been dealing with about racism, letting me know that it was a spirit, and how Jesus came and with the Gentiles, the Jews and the Gentiles, both of them were prejudiced and they was racist. They were hostile towards one another. But once they came into the knowledge, oh, God, thank you. When they came into the knowledge and the understanding and the revelation, one of the reasons why Jesus came to unite man, not to separate mankind. And it's the same way with us. A lot of these traditions, like I said, if they collide with what the word says, it separates you from God. It don't cause you to give him the glory and the honor. But what I think about, if some of you used to tell me that, the goodness of Jesus, when I think about, regardless to what anybody say, I'm an African female. Now, in my natural inheritance, I'm limited to what I can have and do. But when I look at from my citizenship in the kingdom of God, I'm not limited.
Yes.
So there too, again, that's why I said, when we look at it based upon and let people know, that drug addict need to know, that person that maybe in Marie done lost some of their loved ones or whatever they done been through in life, that person with maybe some kind of illness, terminal disease or something like that, when they know, you don't have to be like that. Isaiah 53, I was dealing with one of my nieces, and they've been, for a long time, they've been dealing with chronic illness. And I've been working with them and telling them, Jesus done already took this infirmity. You don't have to carry this sickness and this disease. But then as she began to stand on that, the enemy counterattacked. And he trying to increase the pain. I was telling her, but what you do now, see, the enemy can't stand for us to come into the knowledge and the understanding and the revelation about who God is, or better yet, who the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, of the finishing work of Christ. He going to always, Mark the 4th chapter, Matthew the 13th chapter, say, anyone hears the kingdom and understanding it not immediately come the weak one. The enemy don't want us to come into the knowledge of who we are, of who God is, how much God loves us. He still got people believing that God's killing people and all of that, but he won't talk to people about your will. You're free. We all have a will. And to again, my point is saying all of this is when we go back and whenever your tradition is blocking and keeping any of us for coming in agreement with God, where it's time to put it aside, I put it to rest, because people need to know. Look what's happening on the earth right now. Economy. Look at inflation. Look at all this stuff going on, and you got so many people don't have no idea what God fit in and entered this, so they blaming God for everything. If he God, why won't he do this? If he God, why he let this happen? And why? That's somebody, according to Hosea 4 and 6, a lack of knowledge. They don't have no idea, but I'm telling you, when you come in, when you get born again, and if you get in God's word and get your mind renewed based upon what God said, you will be able to eliminate a lot of the stuff of what you call is tradition. You know, I was talking to my son, and I have, and I'm kind of a little scattered with this, but I'm trying to cover some things. I have two great-grandchildren that just came on the scene. And I was talking to my son. I said, well, when is y'all going Christian? You know, that was tradition we do. And he said, Mama, and this is what we do in our family. He said, Mama, 40 minutes after my grandson got him, we gave him back to the Lord. Now, tradition-wise, I said, you got to set a date. And the pastor and everybody is supposed to do it, where Pastor Ray is an ordained minister. But that's something, this legacy we started in my family with my children, that once the baby come on the earth, they give them back to the Lord. Now, like I said, tradition said, now that ain't right. You don't supposed to do that. You know, but see, there too again, when we come into to knowledge and more understanding, and God give us a revelation, that's what we're supposed to be led by. The Bible says we're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. And when you let your, most tradition is led by what some man or some woman, you know where I'm coming from. But when we led by the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church, of better yet the body of Christ, of those that are born again. And when my son said, that's okay, that's cool, because this is what we do. You got to be led by the Spirit. You ain't got to wait a month or 2 months or whatever. I just wanted to use that example, you know, because there too, again, like you said, with Easter, you know, I had to sit my children down at an early age and tell them what Easter was all about. And I would advise, especially like we see all these people going into school and killing children as born-again believers, as saved. They need to be taught that they have authority over that spirit that's operating in that person, that bitterness and hatred, them spirits. And children need to talk, and that's something I tell my grandchildren. I said, you need to know, if somebody come into school, come out killing you. I said, you need to take authority and say, in the name of Jesus, I bind that raging spirit that's operating in that individual right now. I plead the blood of Jesus against you. These are some of the things that will help, because part of Jesus coming on this earth, it's to fix it and show us how we can have that abundant life that Jesus talked about in John the 10th chapter. You want me to continue?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
You know, because like I said there too again, and this is something God taught me, after I got born again, and I had to he said, train up a child in the way that he should go. The Bible tells us, bring him up in the admonition, in the nurturing of the Lord. And we, not only just children, but even as parents, we need to know what it means to be born again. And a lot of people, and I did it too, when I got saved, I would only think about it. I didn't want to go to hell and I wanted to get off of drugs. But when I received Jesus, that's when the Holy Spirit began to open up my spirit to eyes. And Paul said to the churches, as in Ephesians, the first chapter, I think about the 15th verse, he started praying. But God began to open up my eyes, by the way, the Holy Spirit, to let me know, you got to live here on this earth until it's time for you to go home. And I want you to know, Ann, I want you to experience that abundant life, a successful life. I want you to know it's two kingdoms, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. And you need to know which one is the greater. John said, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But if you've been taught the tradition way, you waiting on God to do something about the devil, that he done already everything he going to do about Satan. That's the already. Mm-hmm. That's why when you go in and see, you see, he always talk about head. It's always talking about that. But when we get in God's word, it show us as born again believers, the greater one is in us. We don't have to fear the devil. He already defeated, but a lot of people said like that, what I was taught. If he defeated, why he doing so much? Because Satan always when we start trying to believe, he going to always intervene and bring doubt and unbelief. He going to use what we see, what we feel, and what we hear contrary to what God's word said. He used the same strategy on Eve. Did God say? He know what God said. In the Garden of Eve, okay? When Jesus was in the wilderness, he tried it on the second Adam, which we call Jesus. What did Jesus say? Jesus didn't go for it. After Jesus done fasted 40 days without food, and they said without water, here comes Satan. Jesus already know who he was. He didn't allow Satan to use his weakness of what he's seeing, what he was feeling, to doubt what God say. And y'all listen, he's still using that same strategy if we allow him. And in the body of Christ, we have an identity crisis going on. A lot of saints don't have no idea who they are. They still, because religion, you say, intrigued, had me blaming God for everything. God, why you didn't do this? Why, God, you didn't? Nobody never taught me that God gave me a will. And it's amazing, if you look at it, you can go look in the Old Testament. Ain't it amazing how Joseph refused Potiphar's wife? He was a young man. And how Samson yielded to Delilah. And at that time, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost had made it, and the Spirit of God was in man, he came upon man. Why both of them had the same opportunity, both of them were young, but one said no and the other said yes. Why God didn't stop it? There too again, God gave them a will. And so many people, if they ever come into the knowledge and understanding and the revelation, God gave us a will. He's not going to override it. He's not going to violate our will. And the enemy can't, listen, the enemy can't make us do that. What he do, he weaken our will by what the thoughts he inject, what we see and what we feel contrary to what God say. Because, you know, most of humans are moved by what they see, what they feel, and what they hear. And there, too, again, I know I'm a kind of went around apostle, but these are some of the things that once we come into the knowledge, the understanding, and the reality of it, y'all, I'm telling you, like I said, I taught my children, it ain't no bunny rabbit. It ain't no e-bot, no easy. Because right there, the enemy would take the day that we celebrate Easter, and he would use it to continue to keep people in darkness. Instead
That's
of
right.
letting people know the importance, the value of it, the significance, where it can really affect them and everything around them in their inner circle, he used it. And that's what the enemy continue to do to people that choose to keep a narrow mind, to keep a close up mind about it, instead of going before God. Because when God revealed to me what Easter was truly about, y'all, it changed my life. And it's been changed ever since. Somebody even asked me, where you going to Easter service? I said, if the Lord don't say nothing, I might be at home. Now, you know, some people say that. No, I'm not. The Bible says men is led by the Spirit of sons of God. See, that's the thing. We got to get
right.
out of this thing. We magnify what man said more than God. This what Paul, not Paul, this what Jesus was saying in Mark the 7th chapter. He said, y'all hold on more to y'all tradition more than the commandments of God. And we got, this what we missing it. And people need to know the true meaning of Easter. Go ahead, Apostle. I'm getting excited.
That's all right. Reason I'm saying this all right is because there's a lot of people out there that's listening. They have not come into the understanding of the true meaning of what this season is all about. And I know it took me a while. My whole thing was my children, they went to do the Easter egg hunt. And even the church I was in, We had Easter egg hunt for the children and the rabbits and all of that. And it wasn't until I come into a reality understanding of what was going on and what that rabbit and the Easter egg and all that had to do with the fertility cult. And as a result of my coming into that understanding and who celebrated that, it wasn't part of the celebration of the Passover or the celebration of the risen Christ, but it was part of the pagan celebration that had taken mm-hmm. place for years. And mm-hmm. now we come into, well, my whole thing is that God is revealing those truths that Satan hid them from us so that we would not come into the knowledge and the real meaning, what the real meaning or understanding of this season is all about. Because see, if when you read, you see what Jesus gave the disciples, the word that the Father gave him. And whenever you look mm-hmm. at it, it tells you that we have authority over demons. We have authority over
That's right.
have power over the enemy. But if we run around here looking at Easter egg bunny, looking for a chocolate bunny, we done missed the whole thing, just like I did.
And you know, too, Apostle, there too, again, I don't want people to think that we being little of them. We're not doing that because we too.
Mm-mm.
I'm about like Apostle Paul. We all, before you come into the knowledge or the realization, the revelation about the kingdom of God, we all were led and taught religion and tradition.
And
we don't want nobody, please hear us. We're not being little or nobody. We laugh because we've been there. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like I said, I did it for years, from a child up until I got saved. I got saved in my early 20s. Really, I got saved, before I got in my 20s. But even then, I was still on a tradition because I hadn't come into the knowledge. The Holy Spirit was trying to get me out of it. But on the outward, I was constantly hearing the same thing. And see, the Bible said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, if you truly, and Jesus said this in Mark 4 and Matthew 13, when they asked him, why you ain't revealing other world, paraphrase, the laws and principles of the kingdom to them, he said they don't want to know. If you listen, if you really, really, really want to know what God say about life or anything about life, the Holy Spirit is there to revelate it to you. But if you don't really want it, that's why he said you got to seek a sign. You got to want it. You got to want truth before God reveal truth to you. But if you just say, oh, well, you know, you let the chip make wherever they fall. No, you're not going to get. And first of all, if you're not born again, and this is what Paul said to the church in Corinthians, if you haven't been born again, the Bible said if you ain't been born again, it's because the God of this world have blinded and hindered you from sin. You cannot understand the Bible. The Bible is spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. And that's the first thing. If you haven't been born again, you're going to continue to think that God is against you. When God get ready for you to get saved, you'll get saved. You're going to continue to think, ain't no sense in me getting saved. God don't love. You're going to think all of these crazy things about it. But it's when you get saved, that's when the Lord really begin to, your eyes come open. I ain't talking about your natural eyes. I'm talking about spiritually. Because if you ain't been born again, you ain't operating according to the spirit because your spirit is closed from God. It's cut off from God. You operating according to your five senses. Once you get born again, then you begin to see things from the spirit perspective. That's when you reconnect with God and you begin to hear the voice of God. Now, don't get me wrong. You still can hear the voice of God even if you ain't saved. But you ain't going to really take it serious. You know, it's mm-hmm. not really serious. Yeah. You know, you said, a boy said this, I had this thought. But you can't discern whether it was God, you, or Satan. But once you get born again, something take place. I don't want nobody to say, if I ain't saved, I don't hear God. No, no, that's not true. Because in this new dispensation of grace, you can hear God. Because God gonna always, but the thing you need to know, and I'm finna let say this again, the thought of come to you, don't do it. God ain't gonna make you do it. He ain't gonna force you. That's the way he taught. The thought of come, I don't know about nobody else. Even before I got saved, every time I got ready to do something wrong, a thought came to me. Don't do that. But I was going to do it anyway. I didn't know no better. Well, after I got born again, I began to understand that was God talking to you, and that's the way he talks. Mm-hmm. He ain't screaming. Mm-hmm. You know, he ain't going to put his hand on you and say, don't do it. You better not do it. No, 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 no. And this is what Satan tricked a lot of people. When he get ready. No, 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 no. He been ready for you to. He said, the day you hear my voice. He didn't say the day you be in the church inside the building or the day you read your Bible. God can choose any way and any time he want to speak to us. But the thing about it, please hear me, and I sense this so strong. God is not going to make you live right. But if you want to live right, God will help you. And that's what I'm saying. If you want to know the truth, if you've been born again, just ask him. You ain't got to take my word for it. You ain't got to take a pause. I'm sorry. I don't think you might be said. Ask him, Father, now you reveal to them about Easter. Reveal the true meaning to me. Because now let me tell you something. If Jesus wouldn't have came, and if he wouldn't have got up, we would be hopeless people. But because he came and he got up, we not hopeless anymore. We not slaves to the devil no more. See, this is what excites me about when I think about why he came and when he got up, how it benefit me. I'm not a slave to sin no more. I'm not a slave to my flesh and desire. I'm not a slave to fear. You know, I can call on him. I ain't got to wait till I get to church. And I'll call the pastor, and I don't rightly divide. They can agree with me. But I can call him anytime. And talk
That's
to
right.
him. He'll talk back to me. If I need some information, if I need knowledge or understanding about something, good God Almighty, he'll talk to me. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
To me, that's what we need.
And
go ahead,
and what she means, I had this church in Baltimore City, and I was lamenting on, if I do this, the church gonna split. I was saying that, driving down the highway, and guess what? A little voice came to me and said, why not you? And I shut up. I did not ask. I went on and did what the Holy Spirit was leading me to do. That vision that God has given the district superintendent, that she shared it with me, and I said, I agree with it. And do you know that church that we started is still going to this day? And that was in 1995.
Praise
now,
God.
The other church where the people was given this larger building, and they are dying. They had to be merged with another congregation, and that congregation was greater than the congregation that was there. And they began to implement some of the things that they brought with them. The only thing we're saying is God will speak to you. And again, the power of Jesus, just the name. When I was in seminary, we were on the sixth floor. And that night, we were asleep and woke up. And something was there in our bedroom. And I'm telling you, I was not dreaming. I was not hallucinating. I was not drinking. I did not have any external substance at all. I called the name. First, I just could call the name Jesus. And whatever that was went out of the window. We're on the sixth floor now. Went out of the window like a ball of fire and has not come back. But this season is all about.
That's what
it's
about. I agree.
Delivering us us that power and authority.
That's
and he told them, that I go, I must go, so I can send the Comforter. And he
went. That's what he said.
If he would have stayed, he would have only been able to deal with the people right where he was. Now, at Pentecost, what happened? The Spirit came like a rushing wind. That Spirit is all over. And that is what this season, one of the things that this season is all about. And also, I'm telling you now, a lot of people say, oh, I got mine overnight. But no, I didn't. Mine was a process. I admit it was a process. God
took
me
step by step. Mine too, Apostle. Mine was a process.
That's why now, that's why now I know. I know who the Creator is. And that's, I don't have to sit here and talk about I walk by faith. I walk by the Word of God, which gives me my faith. So what I'm saying is, this season that we are living in now, let's not be confused of the commercial by the commercialism. I tell you, the cars was all over the place yesterday at the parking lots of these commercial areas. Now watch. On Sunday, people who haven't been to church for years going to be at church on Sunday. Now, unfortunately, this is the unfortunate truth. A lot of the ministers, especially in the large churches, they plan all these programs because they know people are going to be coming, and they're hoping to raise X number of dollars at that time. The focus is becoming more on the Benjamins than on building the body of Christ. What is this season about? Is it about you coming to church one time this year or twice a year? Or is it coming because you have a relationship or want a relationship with our risen Savior? Now, that's what the season is about. It ain't about, no, as Apostle Miller said, it's not about no bunny rabbit. It's not about no, and I've talked about the Easter egg. It ain't about no Easter egg, honey, either. It's about the living Savior who gave his life.
That's right.
See, I see a lot of people walking around here with a cross around their neck. It's not about that cross that's around your neck. It's about what was on that cross. That piece of wood or piece of metal can't do anything for you. If you don't understand what was on that cross and why it went there, just like Jesus on his way, what did he say? He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Because he looked down and he said, there's an arm strong on that. I done saved him from getting electrocuted. I done saved him from doing this. And look at him. Look where he's sitting. He's sitting in that club over there with that bottle. Now, don't get me wrong now. Those people in the club, see what's going on. And in terms of looking around you, and you see what's going on, what are you doing? These are the things that you can do to make things better. And then Marvin Gaye, what's going on? Marvin, what did he say? Who's going to save the children? And what's happening to the children now? All these school shootings. That was God's way of touching those of us who were not sitting in them pews. I haven't forgotten that. That made an impression on me. Ask who's going to save the children? Anything would have gone down, I was trained trauma or crisis responder. I could sit with the children. I could sit with the teachers. And when there was a community event that took place and impacted the children, what do? We got the pastor of the local church that was in the community to open the doors, and we invited the children to come in. And we gave them paper and pencil and had them to draw or write about what they felt. And then we could sit with them and help them to process their feelings. All of that came about because of my understanding of what Jesus the Christ did when he went to that cross, what that was all about. Because I will be done. Not my will, because sometimes we get disgusted. But yet, there's something in us just like it was in Jesus. And he understood who called him, why he was called, and what he was called to do. So we have to honor that. That's what it's all about. And whenever you come into that understanding, you call it Resurrection Sunday or Resurrection Day, because all that resurrection reconciled us back to the Father. Go ahead.
You know, Apostle, this comment read now, that the Holy Spirit brings in Matthew the 8th chapter, we hit on a little bit of it last week about the centurion. But in Matthew, the 8th chapter, in that 17th verse, when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lay and sick of a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. 16th verse, when the evening was come, they brought unto him, talking about Jesus, many that were possessed with devils. He cast out those filled with his word and healed all that was sick. But this is the point I want you to see. He said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmity and bare our sickness. That's another thing to think about. When Jesus took, it's so many people right now is bound up with sickness and disease. And they're praying and asking God to heal them. You don't pray and ask God to do what he done already did through Jesus coming, death, burial, and resurrection. You command it to be. That's why he said, this had to fulfill what was said about him by Isaiah the prophet. Himself, he took our infirmity and bare our sickness. But a lot of people, and I used to do it too, I would pray, God hear me, when I had that problem with my back. And that dish in my back. And I was just crying out to God, God, heal me, God, heal me. And I can't require the date. But one early, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I was crying. I said, God, why won't you heal me? And the Lord, I said, your words, he said, and go back and read it. He said, I done already took this in. But
that's
you,
right.
Because of lack of knowledge and understanding and revelation, you were taught by through tradition, you pray and ask God to hear you. You pray and ask God to do this in. Y'all, we don't do that now. When we do pray, we supposed to come in agreement with God, but to pray and ask God to hear you, he'll say, and so, because according to his word, he done already healed. Jesus said, I'm doing this to be fulfilled what the prophets done already said. He said, I can't fulfill everything the prophet said about me. That's why he went about healing, because his God wills you to be healed. Now, tradition tells some people, if it were God will, why are you still sick? I promise you, it ain't on God. It's on you. And we command everything Jesus done did. We as born again believers, we can command. We can command. He said, Mark 11, he tells us that. He said, these signs follow them that believe. All of this is part of his coming, his resurrection. All of this took place. He done gave Apostle Peter look back to God. He done gave us the life. And I have people say, well, prophet, if God done gave me everything pertaining to life, why do some feel after lack of knowledge? Some people believe. You got some people, they believe in the Bible, but they don't trust it. You got some believe, they don't obey or trust it. And then the Bible said the devil believed and he trembled. Everything we need, y'all, this part of the river, he done took care of everything that would interfere with our relationship with God, interfere with us experiencing abundant life. He done took care of all of that. And when your spiritual eyes come on to see that in us, the devil is defeated. But the way he presents himself through our ignorance, lack of knowledge, lack of obedience, he'll have you believing that God don't care about you. Yes, he do. But because of your will, if you don't want to do something, you don't do it. He ain't going to make you do it. When I got that revelation, it set me free. Because I had to repent. I blame God for so many things. He's saying, I do not override your will. I don't violate it. That's why you see people in the Old Testament and one will to do God's will and the other will not to obey God. The one that will to obey God, God strengthened them and they was able to stand. They was able to do what he said. The same God would have helped David not to sleep with Bathsheba. God would have helped Samson not to sleep with Delilah, just like he helped Joseph not to give to Potiphar's wife, like he helped the Hebrew boy that told him to submit to him and not die. Y'all, he would do it. And all of this is about his resurrection. Now, I don't know about y'all. I'd rather have this information because that bunny rabbit and them eggs, when trouble hit, it can't do nothing for me.
Nothing.
Please
That's
hear me.
Right.
Like I said, we've been there, but it couldn't do nothing. But this right here, this information that we're getting right now, this would set us free and it'll keep us free if we get it. Go ahead, Apostle.
Yeah, and I crashed the airplane in 1977, broke my left arm, and had a few bruises on me and bit my thumb back. And the doctor wanted to operate. My thing was, by Jesus said, by his stripes, I am healed. And I kept saying that. I kept thanking him for the healing.
Yeah.
That happened on a Monday. Hospital, after they did an x-ray, and the doctor said, there's no need for me to operate now. Because you see that? See that look like spider web? Your bone is healing. And that was all because of my belief. My belief in the word. I knew what the word said, and that was what my prayer was. And there's a couple other times that I have been through trials and tribulations, and I called on the Lord, and the Lord responded because I called on it based on his word, and he keeps his word. He's not a man that he will lie. He's not like what we're dealing with now in this season that we're in, this Easter season and this political season and economic season where the truth is a lie and a lie is the truth. God doesn't play those kind of games. Whatever is written, that's what it is, and you order your belief around that, and I guarantee you the power that's in that word will be released in you or through you. And he made that clear in John 17, when Jesus prayed for the disciples. Well, first he asked God to glorify him. It were by him glorifying God. He glorified God, and God in turn glorified him, and then he passed it down to the disciples, and he gave the disciples the authority, because God gave him the authority, and he passed it down to the disciples who passed it to us. And I quote Luke 10:18, 19, and 20. Power over demons. I mean, authority over demons. Authority over serpents. And then power over the enemy. But Jesus chastised the disciples when they came back, talking about what all they've done and all this. He told them, don't rejoice in the fact that you were able to do that. You, because I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He said, Father, he said, 20, you rejoice in the fact that your name is written in heaven. And what that does, that blocks Satan. That came out of the door, as we used to say. He cannot do anything because if you recognize that your power and authority came from the Creator, and then of what this season is all about, and we have 90 seconds. Apostle Miller, would you like to pray us out?
Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to say thank you again for what you have revealed to each and every one of us today. And Father, I pray even as Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus. At first, I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to arrest and bring conviction to people. And Father, I pray for those that already know you, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father Lord may give unto us the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of you. Lord, that the eyes of our understanding will be in light, that we would know what is the hope of your calling, that we would know that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of us. And Father,
yes,
we give you praise. And Father, I even pray for those, even in the holiday season. I pray for the bereaved. I pray for those that feel like they by themselves. I pray, Father, for grace and mercy for them. I pray, Father, that you would do something special, that you would manifest yourself in a way that they'll know that you is with them, that you do love them, and they are not by themselves. I bind up unwanted grief and pain. I come against suicide thoughts. I come against all of these temptations that would try to come to try to rob people of their joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, and thank you, listeners, for listening, and I trust and pray that somewhere, some way, the words that you heard here today, it might not be today, it may be a year from today, what I call the little light bulb go off, but you will find the joy, the peace, and the hope that will get you through the trials and tribulations that you have to deal with. Because you're able to tap into the power and authority that Jesus gave us through this season. Shalom, shalom, shalom.